That is Archer and Kaysen, and I'm very thankful to them for quoting that verse to you. And I was texting their parents this week and just saying, what a blessing to have that verse in their heart at their age, and to know the truth of that verse, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's a truth that all of us need to have in our heart. You think about what that carries, the fact that it gives to us assurance of salvation. If we are in Jesus, if He is our Savior, we have the promise of heaven, and we don't have to worry about hell. We don't have to have fear or doubt about where we're going to spend eternity at. We can have complete confidence that heaven is ours through Jesus. And I'm very thankful for these two young men reminding us of that truth this morning. I want us to take some time here in just a moment to pray for our kids. As you know, Vacation Bible School is starting tonight. Church camp is starting for the summer. I think our kids go to church camp next week. We have more than 40 kids signed up from Reinhardt for the different weeks of church camp this year, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, VBS and church camp, as I think about those two events in my years of growing up, those are two events that molded my life. I don't know if that would be true for you. If you were one who went to church camp, or you were one who went to Vacation Bible School, but for me, those events were tools that God used to shape me spiritually, not just as a kid, but for the years to come. In fact, I remember going to church camp and crying on Friday night because I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay at church camp all summer long. It was so fun and had such an impact on my life. Vacation Bible School was always a great week for me. We learned Bible stories and we learned Bible verses. And I'm fully confident that some of the verses that I have memorized now and lean on in my life are verses that I memorized as a kid in Vacation Bible School. We want our kids to be blessed in the same way. So we pray for them. We pray for our teachers. We pray for all of those who are working together to make Vacation Bible School happen. I just want to encourage you all through this week, as you go to God in prayer, that you would remember our Vacation Bible School, ask His blessing upon that. And let me say thank you, too, for the many decorations that we have for Vacation Bible School. Would you thank those? We've had a number of people working to just decorate our auditorium, and it's really a good thing. And we thank you for your time and effort. Let's pray together. Lord, we are asking for your blessing upon Vacation Bible School as it starts tonight. We pray for the kids to come. We pray for the truth to be taught just very clearly. And Lord, that it would make sense to the kids, and that truth would be put into their heart. And Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to move in kids' lives and even in teachers' lives and adult lives, that as we're involved in VBS, Lord, that we would draw closer to you and be thankful to be a part of your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme for Vacation Bible School is the kingdom, and that's why you've seen castles and you've seen knights in shining armor, and you are seeing castle walls, and you're seeing banners banquet tables set up all around our auditorium and our building. Are these decorations that have a reminder to us of the kingdom. Tonight's emphasis is the broken kingdom. Now, I will tell you, it didn't start out as a broken kingdom. In fact, it started out as a perfect kingdom. And in that perfect kingdom was a garden called Eden. It was a perfect garden, and God's kingdom he was reigning over that kingdom, and he put man in the garden to till the garden, to tend the garden, to take care of the garden. And man and God walked with one another, and they talked with one another. It was a beautiful place. It was beyond what our imagination can even dream up. There was no sin there. There was no curse, which means no sickness, no heartache, no natural disasters, no pain, no sorrow, no death. It was heaven here on earth. But you know the story. We've looked at this story and referenced it so many times in the preaching and teaching that takes place here at Reinhardt. The serpent came along and tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they did. They sinned against God. And all of a sudden, the perfect kingdom became a broken kingdom. Sin had its terrible effect upon creation. And still today, we are living in a broken kingdom. That's why we had the shooting in Texas a couple of weeks ago at that school. And all of those kids were killed, and a couple of teachers. And then just a few days after that, there was a shooting at a church in Iowa. You heard about that, where 80 high school and college age students were gathered to study the Bible. And there was this shooting out in the church parking lot. And then a few days after that, there was a shooting at a Tulsa hospital, the very hospital where our son's life was saved 35 years ago. Four lives were taken at St. Francis Hospital. And we have such high regard for St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa. When I heard about that shooting and I read an article about it, I just started crying. For we really do live in a broken world. And the brokenness is evidenced in so many ways. One shooting after another. And you look at the headlines from day-to-day news, and that's about all you see is this person has shot that person, and this family has broken up, and these young people have been abducted. And oh, the list goes on and on. A kingdom that was made perfect in its beginning, mankind broke it by saying yes to the devil's temptation in Eden. And of course, God was not taken by surprise. He knew that this was going to happen before it happened. He had a plan in place. And that leads me to what we'll talk about on Monday night, the promised kingdom. Genesis 3:15 is the very first scripture that enlightens us to God's plan of redemption. God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." That's a prophecy of Jesus' coming. The seed of the woman, the Messiah, would crush the serpent's head. What would the serpent do to him? He would bruise Jesus' heel. And if you've ever had a heel on your bruise, if you've ever had a bruise on your heel, you know that it really hurts. The crucifixion would hurt Jesus more than what we would know. And all of the emotional trauma and the burden of the world's sins that he took upon himself. But that was not the end of the story, praise the Lord. 3 days later, the stone would be rolled away, and the grave could not hold him there, and the resurrection would crush the serpent's head. The victory was won that resurrection morning. So the promised kingdom was and is fulfilled in Jesus. On Tuesday, then, we will talk about the present kingdom. Right now, the kingdom of God exists here on the earth, and it's growing. And I want to come back to this point, and it's here that I will spend most of my time this morning. But I'll finish the week out for you as we talk about the kingdom to our kids. On Wednesday evening, we will talk to them about the future kingdom. There will be a perfect kingdom again, as in the beginning, before it was all broken. The Garden of Eden will return, and all of those who are in Christ Jesus will get to enjoy this perfect garden. Those of us who have no condemnation hanging over our head, those of us who are in Christ Jesus will get to forever call heaven our home. The curse will be gone. The devil will be gone, and so will all sin. King Jesus will sit on his throne next to his heavenly Father, and it will be our pleasure to worship him and serve him for the next 10,000 years. And when we have spent time, that kind of time, worshiping him and serving him, we will have only just begun. It won't be so pleasant, though, for the ones who are not in Christ Jesus. 10,000 years in hell, and it will have only just begun for them, too. I pray that no one here would be a part of that terrible experience. Let's go back to the present kingdom. I mentioned to you each of these kingdoms. The broken kingdom, the promised kingdom, the present kingdom, and the future kingdom. Let's go back to that third kingdom, the present kingdom, in which we are now in. Romans 14, 17 is an interesting verse that we need to look at. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Think about that. The Holy Spirit is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. It's the fruit of God's Spirit in us that should be flowing out of us to touch those who are in the world around us. And maybe this is why Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom was not and is not an earthly kingdom where his subjects would fight with swords and spears or guns for that matter. Rather, we are in his kingdom having the Holy Spirit in us, and we fight off the evil one through the power of that Spirit, and his fruit, his character, his attributes are in us, and they should be flowing out of us to the world. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, they are inside of us, and that is what should be flowing out of us. I wonder, is that what people would say is coming out of you? Would they say that righteousness and peace and joy is that which is coming out of you? I have to share this with you about a grandma's driving experience. Grandma is 88 years old and still drives her own car, and she writes to her friend about her driving experience. She says, "The other day, I went to our local Christian bookstore and saw a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker. I was feeling particularly sassy that day. I'd just come from a thrilling worship service and prayer service. So I bought the sticker and put it on my bumper. Boy, am I glad I did. What an experience. What an uplifting experience that followed. I was stopped at a red light at a busy intersection, just lost in thought about the Lord and how good He is, and I didn't notice that the light had changed. It's a good thing someone else loves Jesus, because if He hadn't honked, I'd never have noticed. I found that lots of people love Jesus. While I was sitting there, the guy behind started honking like crazy. And when he leaned out his window and screamed, 'For the love of God, go, 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 Jesus Christ, go!' What an exuberant cheerleader for Jesus he was. Why, everyone started honking. I just leaned out my window and started waving and smiling at all those loving people. I even honked my own horn a few times to share in the love. There must have been a man from Florida back there, because I heard him yelling something about a sunny beach. I saw another guy waving in a funny way with his middle finger stuck up in the air. I asked my young teenage grandson in the back seat what that meant. He said it was probably a Hawaiian good luck sign or something. Well, I have never met anyone from Hawaii, so I leaned out the window and I gave him the good luck sign back. My grandson burst out laughing. Why, even he was enjoying this religious experience. A couple of people were so caught up in the joy of the moment, they got out of their cars and started walking towards me. I'm sure they wanted to pray with me, but this is when I noticed the light had changed. So, grinning, I waved at all my brothers and sisters and drove on through the intersection. I noticed that I was the only car that got through the intersection before the light changed, and I felt kind of sad that I had to leave them. All the love that we had shared. And so I slowed down the car, leaned out the window, and gave them all the Hawaiian good luck sign one more time. Praise the Lord for such wonderful folks. I think that grandma was in La La Land. But I'm wondering, what is it that's flowing out of you? Is the kingdom of God flowing out of you? Paul said in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's peace and joy and the Holy Spirit and righteousness in us. What's flowing out of you? What's oozing out of you as you go through life, as you're on the road, as you're at work, as you're in the home? How about as you're at the ballpark? Does peace and righteousness and joy just overflow from your insides? I hope it does. Rather than us being like that guy from Florida yelling something about a sunny beach. Let me ask you this question. How does one get into the kingdom? We're talking about being a part of the kingdom. How does one enter into the kingdom? Jesus was very clear about that. John chapter 3. Verses 3 through 7, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Have you been born again? Have you been born of the water and the Spirit? It's a picture of baptism, isn't it? It's through our baptism into Jesus that we enter into the kingdom of God, and the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in our heart, and then he lives through us. He helps us overflow with joy and peace and righteousness. Interestingly, the word kingdom appears more than 100 times in the Gospels. That means Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. He encouraged us to pray for the kingdom to come. He encouraged us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said this, that if a person isn't converted and become like a little child, then he or she will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. He said the greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. We are to proclaim the kingdom. We are to hear the words of the kingdom. We are to give up everything for the kingdom. He compared the kingdom to a treasure hidden in a field. He said the right thing to do would be this: for if you have found a treasure hidden in the field, to go and sell everything that you have that you can buy that field and have that treasure. The kingdom of God is of supreme importance. I'm wondering, as we live our life, is the kingdom of God that important to us? Let me ask that to you individually. Is the kingdom of God that important to you? Are you consumed with the kingdom of God, or are you more consumed with building your own kingdom? Let me make three points. The first point would be this: every kingdom has a king. And of course, Jesus is that King. Just as I said to you last week, as we talked about the body of Christ, I said Jesus is the head of that body. So that's true as we talk about the kingdom as well. Jesus is the king over the kingdom. Revelation pictures him as one who is coming back on a white horse with a sword coming out of his mouth, and the words "King of Kings and Lord of Lords" is written on his thigh. Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see, obedience is important. Not just the right words, but the right action. Jesus said this, Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" King Jesus is interested in our obedience. It's easy to say the right words, but the true faith will lead us to obey him. That leads me to a second point. Every king has subjects and servants in his kingdom. Those two words describe some very important expectations that Jesus has for us. We are to obey him, and we are to serve him. Now, I've already brought to your attention from the first point about the importance of obeying King Jesus. We need to serve him as well. Jesus said this, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." One way that we serve King Jesus is by serving others. You remember his teaching in Matthew 25, as much as we serve our fellow man, we are serving him. As we give attention to the least of these, we are giving attention to Jesus. As we clothe the poor, we are clothing naked Jesus. As we feed the hungry, we are feeding hungry Jesus. As we give a drink to a thirsty person, or as we visit the sick, or as we go to the prison and visit those who are there, we are showing mercy to Jesus. As we are helping a little child, we are helping Jesus. And the opposite is true too. As we neglect the people around us who are in need, we are neglecting Jesus. We need to open our eyes, open our ears to the needs of people who are around us. And as we reach out to those people, we are, in fact, reaching out to Jesus. Our prayer should be this: King Jesus, would you help us to be subject to you, to be obedient to you? And King Jesus, would you help us to serve you? And here's a final point. And I've said that the kingdom of God is within us and it's growing. But there is an aspect of the kingdom that is very visible on this earth, and it's growing as well, and that is the church. You know, the theme that we are presently in, what is the truth about the church? The truth about the church is that not only is it the body of Christ, it is the kingdom of God here on this earth. And it is growing, and it is representing him to the world. There's a couple of scriptures that I want to read to you that give support to that. One would be Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For he," this is God, "for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." You see the word kingdom there? We've been rescued from sin, and we have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. "And he has made us to be a kingdom." This is Jesus, the He. "Jesus has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." If you are in Christ, you are a part of his earthly kingdom here. I ran across a couple of definitions of God's kingdom as I was studying for this sermon. Let me give to you those two definitions. One was this: God's kingdom is God's people in God's place under God's rule. Let that sink in. God's kingdom is you and me, God's people, in God's place, under God's rule. Here's another definition of the kingdom of God. It's the range of God's effective will where what God says goes. Is that true in your life, that what God says goes? Those two definitions should be describing the Church of Jesus. We are the people of God in God's place, under God's rule, and we are living under the umbrella of His will, where what He says goes. His word is the final say. His word is that authority for our life. And in a very real sense, we are His representatives here. We are His kingdom here. We are trying to bring down to earth heaven kind of living. We're trying to bring heaven's living down here. If people see us being like Him, hopefully they'll be drawn to Him. And we should be talking to people about the King, for we want the kingdom to grow. We want others to experience the blessing of the present kingdom, so that one day they can enjoy the future kingdom. Let's say the memory verse together again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us to be in Christ. So that one day we can be with Christ. I thank You that so many here today are in Jesus already. And Lord, would You help us to grow and have peace and joy and righteousness flowing out of us. If there's some here today that are not in Jesus, Lord, we're asking for them, that You'll be touching their hearts. We long for them to enter into the kingdom, to be born again. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your patience. Lord Jesus, You are our King above all kings, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.